Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Good evening. Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. My name is Dave Schrader. I'm your host. Sitting across the board from me, as he is apt to do every week, Mr. Tim Dennis, my co-host and producer. Hey, you guys, we had a really great time out at the Queen Mary. One of the fun parts of the event was the live comedy special that we had with Dean Haglund from the television show The X-Files. He does a comedy improv show where he invited some of the other paranormal celebrities on stage. He did one out in spring with us, and he did a live X-Files episode that brought Jason and Grant from the Ghost Hunters up on stage. Also brought Chris Fleming from Dead Famous, Patrick Burns from Haunting Evidence on stage. And this last time, just last week, we did the live event as well, and he did a live-action episode of The Ghost Hunters. And he brought Grant on stage, he brought Chris and Patrick on stage, and he also brought Richard Felix from the TV show Most Haunted. It was a lot of fun, brought up some of the audience members as well. And he makes those DVDs available on his website. Go to deanhaglund.com. Again, that's deanhaglund.com, where you can pick up copies of those DVDs from that great comedy special that we did last week live at the Queen Mary. It's a very good video DVD set. You can pick them up right there. We're also, we've got some great events coming up. Check our website, darknessevents.com. And one of the events that we're going to be doing here is I'm going to be working along with Zach, Nick, and Aaron from the hit TV series on the Travel Channel, which is, of course, the Ghost Adventure Show. And we're going to be doing a live event with them. So we're going to be talking about that here in a few minutes. We tried to get Brian Riggi on the line. Unfortunately, it's going straight to voicemail.
Yep.
I know we're getting crappy weather out here. I don't know if he's getting it where he's at, but we're off the air. But with him, but we do have Zach and Nick queued up, so we're gonna give we're gonna bring them in on the line right now. But before that, I've got a couple copies of Brian's book that we're gonna give away. And again, we've got this right now. Let me pull up the name of the book. Is Ghosts, Apparitions, and Poltergeist. And interesting book. We're gonna give away a copy, and we'll do it on a this way. We've got a trivia question. First person to call in and correctly identify the answer to these two questions will win a copy of the book. We'll get it sent out. You can't have won in the last 30 days. The question here is, who portrayed the little girl in the movie Poltergeist, and what was her character's name? Just first name is fine. I don't need her last name. So again, who was the what was the actress that portrayed the little girl in Poltergeist, and what was her character's name? We'll be back with that answer as soon as we get somebody. Let me know, Tim. We'll lock and load them and put them on the air to see if they can give us a correct answer. Right now, though, let's go to the phone lines. We've got with us all the way from Nevada, we've got Zach Beggins, and we've got Nick Groff on the line with us. Thanks, guys, for joining us here. We appreciate being on the show.
Yeah, no problem. Hey, David, Tim.
Good. So let's see. You just had your show kick off here, and it kicked off. What month did that fire off? It was just before Halloween.
Yeah, it was the beginning part of October.
All right, and you guys got how many episodes total that you aired in the first season here? Was it six?
Eight
episodes. Okay, great. And now the I was watching the ratings were going pretty decent there. Travel Channel ratings were great for the nights, and you guys were on Friday nights, correct?
Yeah, Friday nights at 9. Our first season just wrapped up with the finale was last Friday, two Fridays ago. And right now they're going to repeat the entire season. And we will be having a official announcement very soon about season 2, and then also a live event as well, what we're really excited about.
Well, I know that there was some information leaked on the internet about a season 2 is definitely done. Do you know that part yet, or are you still waiting to finalize those details?
Yeah, the details we can't make officially for another 3 weeks yet. But like I say, it's going to be a good announcement.
Good deal.
Yeah.
We've got to, let's take this call real quick, guys. I've got a winner on line one for the book. Let me bring them up. Lance, you're on the line with us.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing great, Lance. All right, where are you calling us from?
I'm calling from Victoria.
Victoria, okay. And what's the character's name?
Well, the character's name is Carol Ann.
Okay, and who portrayed the character?
And she was played portrayed by Heather O'Rourke.
Very good. Thanks a lot for tuning in, and we'll get you out a copy of that book.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, I'm going to put you back on hold. Now, guys, again, congratulations are in order. The show's been great, a lot of fun. So far, you guys, well, let's talk about this. I guess your first episode was at Bobby Mackey's, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
And Nick over there, too, or Nick, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Okay, cool.
Now, how did you guys get these locations? I know that's one of the number one questions I had people emailing in. They wanted to know, how do you come across, maybe Nick, you can answer that. How do you guys come across all these great locations?
We do extensive research before we actually go to these locations. So we actually have somebody who's helping us who's researching some of these locations. And also Zach and myself, we do a lot of research. You know, on the Internet, the easiest way to try to figure out some of these locations. We're actually doing that now, too. Before we got on the phone, we're looking at tons of locations for future investigations. That's a good way to start. And then we make a lot of phone calls before we go to these places. And, you know, we start banging on doors when we get there and talk to the locals, talk to the eyewitness accounts and such like that. I mean, that's kind of the roots in how we do our investigation. And that's what we do.
Now, you guys started off, Zach, with the first special that you did that originally aired on the Sci-Fi Channel and then, of course, replayed on the Travel Channel where you did the Ghost Adventures episode and you went to the Washoe Club out in Virginia City and you also went to the Goldfield Hotel and did the investigation.
You and Tim been there too, huh?
Yeah, we went out both locations with you. I did, yeah, and that was amazing activity. And again, going out there, not sure what we were going to see, but just being able to capture live EVP, some of the crazy footage and activities that the guests were able to get, and then going back to the Goldfield. Now, again, being skeptical believers ourselves, watching the episode when you guys had that brick and the board started to levitate and the brick kind of threw itself across the room, you know, as a viewer, you sit back and you wonder how much is just TV shenanigans and how much is real. So Tim and I, you know, we went down in the basement of the Goldfield the first night with our friend Susan, and we wanted to just set up real quick with EVPs. And we just stood down there, I think it was Susan, Kim, Tim, and I. Everybody else was upstairs, and we just started queuing up EVPs. And within the first few minutes, we had responses coming right back to us. So I will say, I was blown away by the activity of the location immediately. What drew you guys to those locations? Because I know you weren't really, you weren't big into researching paranormal investigations at that time, right?
Yeah.
You just wanted to kind of go out and document stuff?
We were real new. We were new to paranormal investigating. You know, that's why during that documentary, there's some, there's some times on there where we watch it now and we're like, gosh, what were we thinking? So Nick and I met here in Las Vegas and we were just, we both started talking about some of our paranormal experiences when we were younger. And we thought just to grab some cameras and grab Aaron, and we didn't know that this what we would capture or anything like that. But when you see something like that in front of you, your body kind of reacts in its own way. You know, you're not going up against I always say hunting rocks or seashells. You're hunting these entities that are some of them are intelligent, some of them can harm you, and we've learned a lot about that now. So now we know what to expect and the risks involved. But during the time of documentary, we were unaware of the kind of things that could happen. Our experiences, both Nick and I saw things, in places when we were, I wasn't younger, but Nick was, and my experience was about 5 years ago. But the biggest thing that I like now is actually, sometimes when you were just saying you and Tim went there, and went down in that basement, and now you guys can actually, see and hear for yourselves that there's something going on there. And, when we had our event there at Goldfield Hotel, when we did a ghost hunt there, we were up on the third floor, and I lined everybody up on that hallway. Everybody that came there, we sat them at a room entryway, told them to sit there and put the visitor recorders right in front of them. It looked like an airport
right.
Strip. It was black. All you saw was a row of red lights going down that whole, 100-foot hallway. And then as we're walking around, me, Nick, and Virginia Ridgeway, we all took turns trying to call them out to get some kind of response so these people could see. And as I was walking up and down that hallway, lo and behold, these rocks started picking up off the ground, and they were being thrown down at the end of the hallway towards this older gentleman down there that was running his cameras, and it was draining his batteries out. and he had two of these rocks pelt him in the back. And, you know, it's really cool when you get people, just like you were saying, when you went in that basement and you start experiencing it for yourselves. And, you know, we're kind of like, hey, you see what we're saying? I mean, this stuff happens. So it gets crazy.
Yeah, no doubt. You've got you get a lot of activity when you're in locations like this, and you guys are billing more as like an extreme. You guys bill yourselves as more of like an extreme ghost hunters, where you're going into locations which you know are more volatile in hauntings, and you're trying to create some kind of atmosphere, you know, to have these things occur. What made you decide to go up and challenge the big baddies of you know, of the paranormal world, and, you know, as opposed to just the mom and pop shops where, oh yeah, we think grandma's ghost comes around here once in a while, or the, you know, the ghost of Mr. Mittens, the cat, is seen in the place. You know, what made you decide to start going up against these big bad guys? And now remember, we're on terrestrial airwaves, so there's no swearing, guys. You got to keep it clean.
Yeah, I know. That's my fault. I'll start it off real quick, and then Nick, if you want to finish it, I want to start it, because my experience, you know, I was in my old condo, it scared me. You know, my experience scared me, and I actually fled from that place. And I'm not real big into it's happened. I've ran from things that have scared me, but we're doing this because there's victims out there. There's people that think they're going crazy because they're getting, you know, their hair pulled, or you know, we went to the sloth furnace. This big guy did security, was shaking so bad that he couldn't even go to this one spot where he claims that he was attacked by a violent entity. You know, we go to places where people have had.
Well, let me ask you about that real quick. The sloth furnace is another location I've had the opportunity to go to. I got to admit, that's the one episode I haven't seen of the show yet. I've got it TiVo'd at home. I was really excited to see what occurred. Now, I found, as a paranormal investigator, it was really hard to get decent evidence because it is an open building and there's a highway right there, so you get a lot of passing by traffic and a lot of just ambient noise in there. You know, were you guys having that kind of experience too? Were you able to?
It was actually fairly quiet that night, to be honest with you. I mean, you have the maybe one car passing by way in the distance, but I mean, obviously, you skip over if you have that recording, because you can decipher what is a car and what is an actual voice that we're capturing. So, I mean, it was actually fairly quiet that night. And then, you know, it is near a train track, far a little bit closer to the furnace. So, I mean, it wasn't that bad, to be honest with you. That tunnel, we got some amazing EVPs, and actually captured this weird, slightly apparition figure that was hovering back where I was sitting in the tunnel. I know you haven't seen it yet, Dave, but it's pretty crazy. Once you do see it, check that part out.
All right. Do you like...
Yeah, there was some, you know, a little bit of audio stuff there. But one other thing about sloth furnaces is that what they told us is when those trains go by, and they did go by quite often, is that actually played a role into what they think it occurs there paranormal. Because, you know, back 100 years ago when those trains rolled in, all the old slaves that needed work that worked there, that they would cue that's their work coming in, that's their loads of work coming in, and a lot of people, when they hear trains coming, is when they see several apparitions going towards the area where those workers would unload those cars. So it actually played in our favor, I think.
All right.
Yeah, and also talking about that, we actually did capture these weird hovering balls of light at the end of where people were saying that they would see people walk off the train where the old where they would get paid, I guess, after work or something like that. Remember that, Zach, where the fence part was?
Yeah.
These balls of light we captured a couple of minutes after a train passed by or something like that. And we ran to that spot, and we couldn't figure out what the heck those balls of light were, because they were hovering, and then they just kind of disappeared. It's interesting.
We got to take a quick break, guys. We'll be back with more. We're talking to the Ghost Adventures crew. We've got Zach and Nick online with us. We'll be back with more right here on Darkness Radio. Welcome back to Darkness Radio. Your home for Paranormal Talk Radio every Saturday and Sunday night, 9 to midnight. This is a Sunday night edition, and our guests are the Ghost Adventures crew. We've got Zach Baggins and Nick Groff are joining us here. And, guys, we're going to open up the phone lines, too, for people that have interesting questions for your show and would like to ask you two questions directly. You can give us a call. And let me ask you this real quick, Zach. We had a question that was emailed in to us, And it's from Donna Lyons. She wants to know, how long did it take for those multiple scratches that you got? I'm guessing from the Bobby Mackey episode, right? Isn't that where you got the scratches?
Yeah.
How long did it take for those to heal, and did you use any special treatment method at all for that?
No, I didn't. I didn't. But what I did have, they lasted, they started diminishing away after about a week. And I actually took photos of them. I had Aaron take photos of them every single day. They did heal on their own, and there's nothing there anymore. But after I did get those scratches, is well, when I started having some fun unexplained things happen at my house for about a period of 5 weeks. And, well, nothing too crazy is going on anymore, but definitely had some stuff, crazy stuff happening at my house. I can't prove if it was related to that or not, but
you know,
definitely weird.
Interesting. I went to a place in California called Camarillo State Hospital, I believe it was, and we were brought in there to kind of look around and check this place out. And I was investigating with our friend Bree, who does the national news, and I had a scratch on my face that I'd created earlier in the day, and I walked up to her at one point, and she goes, "Dave, what the hell happened to your face? Where'd you get the second scratch?" I go, "I don't have a second scratch." She goes, "Yeah, you do." And I put my fingers up, and I actually had blood coming from the scratch. So the scratch actually created almost like a T on my face. And the really bizarre thing for me then was, once we got the blood stopped, you could see this deep scratch on my face. And they're like, "Well, let's take photographs." I go, "Well, you know, I can't guarantee that I didn't do it accidentally. I didn't notice, and I just hacked myself, so I can't really call that evidence." And we started talking and blah, blah, blah. And I came back about 10 minutes later, and everybody goes, "What the hell happened to your face? It's gone. The scratch is gone." And it had totally vanished from my face, blood trace and everything. So that was one of the weirder paranormal experiences with the scratches that I'd had occur for us as well. Seems we're having some paranormal activity with the phone lines in there, so pardon the busy signals going on in the background.
Usually follows me around.
Yeah, exactly. So you got scratches, and you were able to, I would guess with the scratches that you got as well, when it was happening for you, as I recall, you didn't really feel the scratch. It was just kind of like a heat, right? And then they were there?
Yeah, it felt like a burning sensation. Almost someone, you know, had just some kind of metal, like, you know, hot metal, and just kind of sizzled it on my back. But it started, it didn't start, like, really intense. I could feel it for a little while, and it gradually built up bigger and bigger and bigger until I suddenly had to, like, you know, stop everything and have the guys kind of lift my shirt up, and it was way up on the upper, you know, part of my back there. And then once they gave me the picture of what it was, I reacted and it freaked me out. And I actually kind of enjoyed it now, you know, and
sure.
And then kind of later down the road, there's, you know, after they took a picture and showed it to me, there's about a period of another minute where we're kind of, I'm kind of reacting to it and whatnot. And then they lift it up again, and there's kind of some more scratches on the side of my back, and then there's those two little, you know, like teeth marks in the center of it, and it was weird, man. And then right after that, we caught this on video. It was like this ball of like a ball of light just kind of shoot straight out of my back, and you could see it, and we made reference to it on the investigation,
right,
on the episode. And then these two little, like, light things were just kind of swirling their way down in front of me right after that ball of light shot out of my back. And that happened right there in the well room. And I actually just had somebody from Cincinnati newspaper send me a couple photos that they just took in there, like a week ago, of some of that similar unexplained stuff that we captured on video happening in their photos as well.
Now, Nick, I want to know from you real quick, when you see something like this happen to one of your best friends, all of a sudden he's lifting up his shirt and he's got scratch marks, do you think, what the hell am I doing here?
Yeah, I mean, I was just thinking about that when he was talking. I was having flashbacks of being in the dark and hearing Zach say, "Hey, my back is warm, turn on the light." That's what was really freaky is I could not see. We can't see anything in the pitch darkness when we're investigating, first off. And then second off, when I'm hearing that his back is warm and I feel like this burning sensation, and then when we actually lift up his shirt and we can't see it still because we have our night vision cameras on.
Right.
But when Aaron flipped on his flashlight and I see these scratches, I'm thinking, what the heck is going on here? And I'm looking around, you know, seeing, you know, obviously you start to think through your head, you know, you bump against anything? No, I didn't. Aaron was right behind me. And then what really got me, this is what really started to freak me out a little bit, is when I saw the second portion of the scratches show up on his lower back a couple minutes, I think it was, after we saw the first scratches. That's what was really freaky. And we just knew we had to get out of that room, take a breath of air first. But, you know, Zach still said, hey, let's stay in here. Let's keep going and see what else we can get. Hopefully I'll get scratched or Aaron will, and we can document it. These are the things that we're doing, you know. I guess that's where it goes back to the whole extreme portion of, you know, what we're trying to do to document this evidence.
Well, when you're calling on these things, too, now you do something that we don't always recommend people do, and I don't know where you guys stand on it, but you do a lot of taunting of the spirits. Mm-hmm. And first of all, in the locations that you go, people should know, it's not like you're going into Waverly Hills, which was a tuberculosis clinic, and taunting the spirits of people that wasted away a long, painful death. You're going into places where it's been known that killers or prisoners or people that were of violent nature originally were there.
Well, not even that. Even at Bob Mackey's, there was spirits that, you know, passed on that were either murdered, like Johanna, you know, she committed suicide, or Pearl, she was actually murdered. And we actually, I captured an EVP in the slaughterhouse room, is what they call it, right next to where Zach actually got scratched. And you can hear the EVP of her crying, and then you hear a man's voice say, "Precious, no." Now, that's really touching, and I wasn't necessarily provoking or calling out or, you know, trying to rile up the spirits. I was just asking simple questions and being respectful in that manner. So, I mean, we don't always provoke, and we're going after,
we do it a lot to, you know, a lot of the places that we don't provoke. We went to the Houghton Mansion, you know, we switched gears. There's not evil spirits in the Houghton Mansion, and we didn't provoke as we would. But what we got to understand is our style is very unique, and not a lot of people do it or may agree with it or not. But when we go and we find these victims, and I call them victims like Carl and people that have been attacked there, 29 affidavits from people that have been harmed there, you know, we're going to go there and we're going to pinpoint those people who we know may be the ones causing those attacks, like Scott Johnson and Alonzo Walling, who are the two satanic worshipers who chopped Pearl's head off and threw it down the well to give to a blood sacrifice as the devil. You know, what we're doing there may be crazy, and it does backfire as it did, but we want to go there and show people that this does happen and the people that are being victims of it so they don't think they're crazy. But, again, we use a lot of energy. You may hear me yelling a lot. I want everybody, everything, every whatever in that freaking building to hear that we're there. I don't know if these entities are standing right next to me or upstairs or whatever, but we use a lot of energy and a lot of emotions in our investigations because, you know, I always say I feel when we create these emotions, this taunting, whatever we're doing, we're creating an energy. Emotions create an energy that secrete from your glands like sweat, and we feel in our style that these spirits or entities can then in return use that energy to manifest themselves and give us reactions back, give us evidence. And, you know, that's what we do, but we also switch gears a lot. When I know that, you know, Johanna was there, I spent a lot of time up in that room. We only showed about a minute of it, if that, on the show. I spent a good 15 minutes up there just trying to console with her, switching my voice to very respectful to her.
Sure.
It's sad. And
that's important for people to know, too. Right. People should know that you guys are, you know, you're adjusting. You deal with the darker side more forceful as you should, and you're more polite to the women. And I know we had that same thing at the the Goldfield Hotel where the woman had been chained to the radiator at one point. You're very kind up there.
Yep.
Let's take another break. We have to take a quick break here. Again, if you'd like to be a part of tonight's show and you have questions for Zach or Nick, you can give us a call. We'll be back with more in the Ghost Adventures crew right after this. Good evening. Welcome back to Darkness Radio right here on your home for Paranormal Talk Radio every Saturday and Sunday night from 9 till midnight. You can join us as we talk about ghosts, UFOs, Bigfoot, and beyond. Oh, God, the fandom has started, Tim. Let's just get this one out of the way real quick. Zach, are you ready?
Oh, gosh.
Katie,
go ahead.
Katie, are you on the line with us?
You have to punch her up, I believe.
I'm trying to. She's not coming in? All right, let's try this way. Katie, are you there? Oh, we got Lisa online. Lisa, why don't we take your call? What's your question?
Okay, I just wanted to know, first of all, great show. I love listening to you guys.
Oh, thank you.
And I just wanted to know, before they go on an investigation, what do they do to prepare? Is there any protective rituals or surround yourself in the white light or anything spiritual that they do before they go into these situations?
That's a great question, Lisa. Hold on, and I'm going to put you on hold right after they get done answering it, and we'll give you a copy of that book we're giving away this evening as well, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Question for you guys, Nick and Zach, and I'll keep Lisa on the line from Blaine here. She wants to know, before you begin an investigation, are there any things that you do to protect yourselves? Do you surround yourself in the white light? Do you have any rituals or carry any medallions or anything, I guess, to protect yourselves?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah. I don't want to get too religious on what we do or anything like that, but, you know, I can tell you that there are some things that we have that we do bring protect, and we do converse with two different people that actually guide us and tell us certain things to do before and after investigations, so we don't, you know, bring anything home with us or anything gets too crazy, although it has happened and it has been the cause for us to reach out and learn more about certain risks involved. And then, you know, certain steps and things that we do take now before and after. So I can say that, yes, we do have some items and then also do some things before and after to help us just so we don't, so we don't get possessed.
All right. How about you, Nick? Is there anything special you do?
Yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily go in do any rituals or anything like that before we go on locations. But, I mean, I kind of keep an open mind when I go in and not get so scatterbrained. So I know, you know, mind's not playing tricks on us. When we hear noises or you hear a disembodied voice all of a sudden, you know, we all three react to it. So, I mean, I kind of go in open-minded. But when I do leave the location, that's what I'm more concerned about because, like Zach said, you know, bringing stuff home with us and such like that. I kind of shut it off, like closing the door behind me is what I typically do in my mind, especially and spiritually. So we don't bring anything back with us. That's kind of my approach.
All right. Thanks a lot, and thanks for the question, Lisa. We're going to put you on hold, and Tim or Andy will take your information. We'll get you a copy of the book, okay?
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. I got another question here. Let me pull this up. It looks like we have Sharon. Sharon, you're on the line. What question did you have for Zach and Nick?
Hi, guys. I just want to tell you how much I love the show.
Hi, Sharon.
My question is, I'm a paranormal investigator also. And I am a member of the GAC family.
All right, my question is,
how do you like using new equipment that, you know, that no other paranormal groups are out there using?
You mean like the different kinds of equipment that we have that other paranormals don't have?
Yeah, like I've been watching the show and I've seen you guys using this light, especially in Holton Mansion. I think it was one of the first places you used it, and you had mentioned about the fact that more drawn to it.
Yeah, yeah. First off, thanks for calling in, and thanks for talking with us. And we do work with a guy who is a scientist. He is a scientist, and he's designed some pieces of equipment for us. He's going to continue to do it, and he's let us use this dark light. And we've also used that gold beryllium subtle energy microphone. And, when we did our documentary, like I always say, Nick and I, we were just curious about this topic. But now since then, 3 years later, it's an everyday thing where we're studying equipment. And the scientific aspect is so important now. And I think that you've seen as each episode has aired, we're getting more and more involved in it, because that's where more of the credibility of evidence comes, is by using a scientific method. And, like I said, we're going to continue to keep using it, and we're open to trying all new pieces of prototype equipment out. If they work, they work. If they don't, they don't. We've used the thermal camera once. We didn't get anything from that, but we're going to continue to use a lot more equipment.
All right, Sharon, thanks a lot for calling. I'm going to put you on hold. We'll give you a copy of the book as well, okay?
Oh, thank you.
No problem. You hold on, and I'll have Andy pick up the line. Guys, the show's been getting more and more popular and spreading. And, again, let's mention this while we've got the time. We are doing an event. You guys are hosting an event at Bobby Mackey's where you're going to be out investigating. You're making this available. It's in January. Tickets are on sale right now. Do you want to go through some of the information about that for people so they know how to sign up?
Sure. Do you want me to go, Jack?
Yeah, go ahead, bro.
Hi, it's myspace.com / GAC events. And it is January 20th through the 22nd, and you can purchase tickets right now. We're going to have a lot of great special guests, including Dave is going to be there. And also Mark and Debbie Constantino, EDC specialist and author of the Hell's Gate book, at Tara Bob Mackey's is Doug Hensley. And Bob Mackey himself is going to be there singing his famous song, Johanna, for all of us, too. It's going to be a great event. Bishop James is going to be there, too. And all three of us, Zach, Aaron, and myself, and we're going to be investigating Bobby Mackey's.
Great.
It's awesome.
And again, you can also go to darknessevents.com. There's a big banner up there for it. You can click that. It'll take you the information on their MySpace page, and there are links on the MySpace page, and all the information in their blog that talks to you about what's going on with the event, how it's breaking down, what's going on for the itinerary and schedule of events. We've had a lot of great response. We have usually you get anywhere from about 75 to 80 people that come to the events. And so we keep it nice and small. You get a lot of investigation time and broken up into great smaller groups with this as well. And I've been there, as I said, I was there, for your first one. We went out to the Washoe Club out in Virginia City and that whole area. And then we came back out for the second event at the Goldfield Hotel. And had just a fantastic time. So there's a lot of bang you get for the buck. And now, where is this? It's located in Covington, Kentucky, correct?
Yeah,
Wilder.
Wilder,
Kentucky. It's about 10 minutes outside of Cincinnati. But if you go to that myspace.com / GAC events, there's a hotel information right there. We've actually found another hotel in Kentucky instead of Cincinnati. They're giving us a little bit better rates for all of our ticket holders.
Great.
So if they call there, they'll give a better rate.
Well, we have another call online with us. We have Amber. Amber, are you with us?
Yes.
Okay, where are you calling from tonight, Amber?
I'm calling from Dallas, Texas.
Dallas, Texas, all right. What question do you have for Nick and Zach?
My question is, when y'all were making your original documentary, did you know that it would gain so much momentum? Everybody just reacting to it, so just enjoying it so much. And when y'all were making it, what your original thoughts were, where it would lead to?
Yeah, it's a pretty good question. She wants to know where did you think that when you started doing the documentary, were you doing it just to kind of quell your own, satisfy your own urges, or were you hoping for spinning out this? And were you expecting the kind of excitement that the show has garnered?
Yeah, I mean, Zach and myself, we started off just curiosity. I mean, Zach's paranormal story that he told me and that I told him when I was a kid about my experience, we said, hey, I want to go out there and, see it for our own eyes and own ears and try to capture some evidence of, what actually happened to us. So it was kind of more curiosity and just going out there and seeing what we can get is how we did it.
Yeah, we didn't have intentions that it would be, end up where it did and it lead into this and us maybe having a life. I knew that I wanted to do this for the rest of my life is to search for the paranormal, but we're very excited where it's led us, and we just want to continue doing what we love to do. And most important thing is to keep it the same as the documentary, which is just myself, Nick, and Aaron doing these investigations, keeping it very raw, making it, feel like you guys are right there with us, showing you the raw footage. And, that's what we like to call is raw and extreme, just like our documentary.
All right, Amber, thanks a lot for calling and being a part of the show tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Amber.
We've got another question here, and we'll take this one right after the break. Why don't we take our quick final break for the show, and then we'll be back. We're talking to the Ghost Adventures crew. We've got Zach and Nick on the line with us, and they're taking some questions. Stay with us. We'll be back with more. You're listening to the best in paranormal talk radio on Darkness Radio. Good evening. Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town paranormal radio show. And for God's sakes, if you're out there driving tonight in the Minneapolis and surrounding areas, please be careful. I'm just looking out the window. Zach, Nick, you guys don't know how lucky you got it. We are looking at a whiteout outside this window at our building. I cannot see the highway. I could see flecks of lights in the background.
Yeah, it's snowing a lot back there.
Oh, yeah, it's brutal out here right now.
They're already closing schools in northern Minnesota right now.
Really?
Or tomorrow, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Crazy. Well, we got another call here, and Captain Andy Pan says this lady's got a beautiful voice, so we have to take this call. So we've got Emily. We've got Emily on the line. How are you this evening, Emily?
Hi, how's it going?
Doing great. Where are you calling us from, Emily?
Actually, it's Anne-Marie, A-N-N-E-M-A-R.
Oh, Anne-Marie, I'm sorry.
Hey, how's it going? I'm doing good, thank you.
Where are you calling us from tonight?
Actually, North Dakota.
Yeah, it sounds like a North Dakota accent. What's your question for the boys?
Well, first of all, I wanted to just say hi. I love the show. It's really great. And a shout-out for the crew and also from everybody that supports you. Basically, my question is, Zach says that, well, basically you say that you're looking for the truth of, you know, whether or not, you know, this is what your investigation is true or not. And you've done so many investigations now. I'm wondering if you found the truth that you're looking for, or if there's still something that you haven't found and you're going to keep looking.
Yeah, that's a good question. She wants to know, I mean, what's going to keep your drive going? And is there a truth that once you find it, will you stop?
Well, I think we've found it. And that's the inner drive right now that keeps us going. And the lovely part about it is we don't know what tomorrow's investigation is going to bring. That's the thrill of it. We don't know what we're going to come up against. We don't know what we're going to capture, what we're going to experience. It's a challenge. And it's fun, and it's a drive, and you're searching for answers that we all want to know on a very, very sensitive subject. You know, possibly some kind of hint of life after death. I know there's a lot of residual energy that I don't really classify as life after death, but we're really trying to find those intelligent entities, the one that answer our questions and we get responses on digital recorders, the shadow figures, this and that. It's just an absolute thrill, and we'll never stop.
All right. Well, Aunt Marie, thank you very much for calling in, and I'd like to give you a copy of that book. So you stay on hold. The boys are going to take Tim and Andy are going to take your information, we'll send out a copy of the book to you on the poltergeist and the supernatural, okay?
That's great. Thank you so much. Have a great night.
Thank you for listening, and thank you for watching Ghost Adventures. They appreciate it, as do we. Guys, how can people find more information about you? Do you have websites up? Where can they go look up more information on Ghost Adventures and see when the scheduling is and what's going on with the episodes?
Yeah, definitely. We have our own personal MySpace sites. You can look us up, Nick Roth and Zach Bagans. And then also we have our main sites, myspace.com/ghostadventures. And then you can also go to myspace.com/GACEvents. And that's our upcoming event that we were talking about for Bob Mackey's investigation coming up in January, the 20th through the 22nd.
Right, and you're keeping that kind of low. Again, it's going to be under 100 people for this event.
Exactly. And yep, we want to keep it limited so we can, you know, investigate personally with everybody there. And we can go back into that well and see maybe this time if I can get scratched or something.
Yeah, I think...
We're not taking that too much, you know, and we want people to understand that this place, when you walk in that front door, that this place actually went to a court case, and they have to have that liability sign right in the front door that if you get injured, it's not the management's fault. And, you know, I want to let everybody know, as funny as it sounds, you will be asked to sign a hold harmless agreement just in case anything happens. There are some ghosts there, and some of them like to... Some of them like to make their presence known to you.
And I'm going to have a special waiver that says that in the event of your death at the event, I get everything you own.
There you go.
Is that okay?
We'll see what we can do.
Excellent.
Yeah, that bathroom's pretty crazy, too.
What do you guys think is, out of all the locations you guys checked out this season, which one was your favorite one? We'll start off with Nick. What was your favorite location and why?
Bob Mackey's was intense, seriously. Bob Mackey's was pretty crazy. Obviously, you saw that bathroom incident with me.
Right.
That kind of shook me up a little bit. I was not expecting that. And then obviously seeing Zach in the, near the well there get scratched, that was pretty dramatic. And then capturing the shadow figure, then the EVP saying precious no. That was a pretty crazy one. And then the second one, I would have to say... the sane asylum was the psychiatric ward in New Jersey. There was pretty intense. For me personally, that's what was crazy because I had this handprint show up on my face after this ball of light hit my back and then followed my torso up to my face. That kind of stuck with me, and then I had some weird things happen at my house after that. So those two were pretty crazy.
How about for you, Zach? What did you think was the most?
Like Nick said, number one, the Mackeys. But outside of that, you know, I've never been overseas, and I really enjoyed doing the underground vaults in Edinburgh, Scotland. It was a whole different vibe, a whole different feeling. The history was completely different, was more centuries and centuries old. And I just loved those vaults, and it was just a really cool place, and we're looking forward to do more international, you know, checking out places over there.
Very good. And your buddy Habo has popped online and said to say hi to you guys and keep up the great work. He loves the show and looks forward to seeing you guys out at the Bobby Mackey's.
Awesome. Yeah. See you there, Mike. Cool.
What we've got only about a minute and a half left here, guys. What do you hope, you know, there's a lot of different paranormal shows out there, and there's more popping up every day. What do you hope people walk away from Ghost Adventures with? What do you think is separating you from every other show out there?
I think it's, you know, we do a whole new take on it, you know, and the whole thing is very easy for me to say. We're not hunting, you know, rocks, and we're not hunting stagnant objects. We're hunting things that may be intelligent and that I firmly, you know, fact can say that they're intelligent because we get answers from. So we don't go to locations and just spend an hour or two there. We go there for a full 12 to 14 hour lockdown, and we lock ourselves in not for dramatic effect. We lock ourselves in so nobody tries to get in there when we're there. We're in places that are freaking huge. We don't know where we're at when we're locked in here in pitch dark, so we want to secure ourselves inside.
Sure.
We like to keep it raw. A big part of evidence is audio evidence, and we don't want any contaminated audio by having a huge bunch of people in there with us. So we keep it raw, just us three, and then we use our emotional approach by using strong emotions, which we feel create energy that the spirits can then in return manifest and give us evidence. And we do a full investigation by the dark history. We interview everybody we can, and we present that all in our show. That's very important to see what history may be the byproduct of the hauntings.
And Nick, how about you? What do you hope people take away from Ghost Adventures that they won't get anywhere else?
Zach basically summed it up, just to show that there is life after death. I mean, just there's something else out there that we haven't totally grasped yet. And, you know, that's what we're searching. That's what we're trying to figure out. I mean, that's a question that I have every day going through life is, you know, what happens when we do die? You know, do we just die and that's it? Or do we pass on somewhere else? Or are we stuck in limbo somewhere if you're in a dramatic death or a suicide or a murder right. or something like that? So, I mean, those are just the questions and answers we're trying to figure out and document and try to get closer and closer to that light of those things.
Well, guys, continued success with the show. You know, we're there for you. We support you. And, again, for anybody that's interested, go to darknessevents.com. You'll find the banner there. Click the banner to go order tickets and join Zach, Nick, Aaron, myself, Mark and Debbie Constantino, the EVP experts, and many more fantastic guests as we go to Bobby Mackey's and investigate the paranormal. We hope that you'll join us. Again, make sure to join Zach, Nick, and Aaron every Friday night on the Travel Channel with Ghost Adventures. Stay tuned. We'll be back at the top of the hour with more. We're going to be joined by Bill Chappell, the creator of the Ovilus and the Paranormal Puck. We're going to talk to him about the technology that he employs and what he's got on the horizon. Stay tuned for more. You're listening to the best in paranormal talk radio right here, 100.3 K-Talk.